have your attention.
This is Shirley Bradley and Lisa Fine. We're at the home of Francis Barnhart, 555 Norman Street, Lansing, Michigan. And we are going to be talking to her about her memories of the Real Motor Car Company.
March.
And this is March
9th, 1993. Okay. We usually just start our interviews by getting some background information about the individuals who worked at the Rio. And actually, you were already starting to tell us a little bit about all the different people in your family or your husband's family that worked there. You weren't from Lansing then? Were you from
Lansing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've been from Lansing all my life. Yeah.
Okay. So you were born here?
Oh, yes.
But not in this particular neighborhood?
Not in this neighborhood, no.
Where did you grow up in Lansing?
Over on Lumet Street.
Okay. Did any of your family work at the Rio as well, or just your
husband? Not my immediate family.
Not your immediate.
I had an uncle that worked at the Rio years ago.
Okay.
When they were making cars during the Depression, when they had the old Rio clubhouse, my mother used to go there to the movies.
As a child, you did that?
As a child, yes.
Yeah. So even though your father and mother and so forth didn't. You still went over to the Rio to participate in the...
Because some of the people, the men in the neighborhood worked at the Rio, and of course they had passes to get into the clubhouse, so we would kind of gang up and get in there.
Sneak in? You aren't the first person who's told us that. they snuck in to see the movie.
We weren't supposed to be there, but we got in anyway.
Uh-huh. That's great. And you went to school in Lansing, too?
Mm-hmm.
To which high school did you go to?
Oh, I went to Gattonville.
Okay. That's a junior.
Oh, Gattonville, okay.
To West Junior.
Okay.
And the old Central.
And then, And when did you start working at Rio? After school, or were there some other jobs in between?
Oh, no, I started working at the Rio in 1942.
Okay. During the war?
Right.
Okay. What did you do before you worked at Rio, before you started working there?
I worked at Presley's store.
Behind the counter?
Well, yeah, I was all over. Back then, you were all over. I was in charge of different departments.
Oh, really?
At different times.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, I worked there for about 11 years.
Okay. And you started working at Rio in 1942?
Right.
What, did you shift because of the war?
Right.
Because you wanted to work in the defense industry?
And make more money.
And make more money. Okay.
Right.
A lot more than you'd be making at Kresge.
Right.
Yeah.
That must have been quite a change going from Kresge's dime store to the factory. What impressed you at first when you first walked into the factory?
Well, it's, of course, having worked in the dollar store and being familiar with selling tools, hardware, and things of that nature, it did not scare me so much because I was familiar with machinery and handling of tools, but of course they were a lot much bigger than anything that I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And and of course when I first went to the Rio, I did, when you first went in there, when you went, you did bench work, like burring all the small parts had to be sanded by hand, or with emery cloth to take the burrs off from the machine.
Just move them
rough,
down.
Little rough places are...
Yeah. And I worked there for a while, and then they put me on machines. So most of the time that I, from 1942 until the end of the war in 1945, I worked on machines.
Starting at Boring and then on machines.
What department were you in? Were you in the same department the entire time?
I was in the Navy department.
In the Navy department. Okay. That's where they made bomb fuses.
Right.
And so that's what you worked on?
That's what I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I worked on just about every machine in the shop.
Wow. Did you find it difficult to run the machines? Doesn't sound like it.
No, didn't bother me.
They gave you a training period?
Well, not too much. Here's the machine you work on.
Somebody would show you what to do,
but after that, why, it wasn't any of them that was that difficult for me. There was only one machine that I refused to work on.
What was that?
And that was a threading machine. And that was threading, well, they were like cylinders, and you put the threads on the outside of them with this machine. And that scared me.
It did.
I could see my
your fingers going through it.
That machine I refused to work on.
It was dangerous? You had to put your hands in some of the working parts?
No, but it's scary.
Oh. Had other people been hurt on that machine?
Not that I know of, but I just had a fear of that machine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in my work in there, I had seen
accidents.
Had you really? Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of women in the department with you?
Oh, yes. Most all of them were women because the men were at war.
So you had a group of ladies that you worked with?
Not all the time. When I was working on the machines, I worked with a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
And in groups, I would work with men.
Sometimes with men, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just back up a second?
Absolutely.
I'm just curious how you picked the Rio to work in, because obviously there was other war work going on in town.
Well, to tell you the truth, because my brother-in-law was in the head of the personnel department.
Your brother-in-law was the head of the personnel at Rio?
Right.
What was his name?
Theodore Lamond.
How do you spell that last name?
Lamond.
Just like it sounds.
Lamond. So he was the head of personnel?
Right.
So you figured you had an in, and you'd...
Well, he told me they were hiring down there, so I went down.
Okay.
And you didn't have any trouble getting in?
I didn't have any... I had to wait my turn, but...
Uh-huh.
Which was 24 hours.
Oh, really? What, did you have to go and sit in the personnel office?
No, I just went in the morning and had my physical, or it really wasn't 24 hours, because they said, can you come back at 4 o'clock and go to work?
Wow. Oh.
And they gave you a physical there?
Right.
And the first aid?
Well, most of it was there, and then you had to go down to the, I think it was Dr. Dupree's office for part of it, but most of it was done at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was he the company doctor then, the Dr. DeVries?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And you were familiar with Rio already because you've been gone
before. Oh, yeah. But it was my first experience of ever being in a shop.
In a shop at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit scary.
Do you remember how much you made when you first went in?
Yeah, 65 cents an hour.
Okay. And?
And after 3 months, so I then... You got 75 cents an hour.
Uh-huh. And how much was that in comparison to what you were getting at Kresge when you left?
What was it?
You don't remember exactly how much you got at Kresge, huh?
Yes, $18.50 a week.
Oh, okay, so I'd have to figure it out. Okay.
And that was for a 40-hour week at Kresge's?
More than 40 hours.
You worked
more
on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Like Monday through Saturday?
Well... Towards the end, they got, or far equipped, where they would give us a day off. They only went, I think, 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Really? During the Depression, they worked 54 hours a week for a lot less than that.
I see. And you felt fortunate, actually, probably, that you had that job. Because
very,
people,
very fortunate.
Yeah.
Anybody that had a job during the Depression
was
very
fortunate.
Yeah.
Now, when you worked at Kresge, were you married yet? Are you still single?
Should we leave my personal life on?
If you'd like.
Okay.
Sure. No problem. The only reason I'm curious is if you were helping to support a family or you're just on your own. But if you don't want to answer, that's fine.
Turn that off and I can tell you.
Okay.
But I don't want...
That's
this
fine.
This is not for publication.
Shirley and I are both very curious about what it was like for women to work in the shop in Rio during World War II. And we haven't found too many people like yourself who were there. So that's why Shirley was asking what it was like when you first entered there. What, how'd you feel about the difference between working in a shop and working in a, you know, a place like Kresge? What your relationships was like, what it was like, how the men treated you when you walked in, because obviously women weren't there before, so it was a new kind of thing.
I never could say that I was ever treated with disrespect.
Okay.
Because they had to depend on the women to do the work. Well, it's just like everything. Everything doesn't always go the way you want it to, but if I had anything to say, they knew about it. And no, because I'll tell you the truth, it was harder working with a group of women than it was.
Oh.
This don't need to be on tape. it was harder to work with a group of women than it was men. I preferred working in a group of men.
With men? Because it was just business.
I was.
Yeah.
They treated me with everything.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's good.
And many times I would be the only woman working with four or five men.
Uh-huh. And that wasn't ever a problem.
But I had to hold up my end of it.
Right. You couldn't be asking for help. You needed...
Oh, no. If you couldn't do the job, you didn't... There was no favoritism as far as I was concerned.
Were there times when some of the women just couldn't do it and were sent out of the department, or do you recall? Or most of the women that worked there were able to cut the mustard, so to speak?
Most of them, from my viewpoint, they were, there was enough work there that they could find something for somebody to do. Because if they couldn't do anything more than inspection work, which was just sitting down and checking parts.
Mm-hmm.
Why anybody could do that, mm-hmm. because they had the gauges and everything to work with. But now with me on the machines, why, lots of times I had to do my own setup work. And
oh, you did.
So, because it was something that I was interested in machines, and having worked selling hardware and selling tools, it was not foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
When they talked about different kinds of tools, I knew what they were talking about.
Did you have to go and get your own stock to work on this machine?
Most of the time the stockman brought the stock through the machine.
So you just went in and your stock was there and you started in. You had a production figure every hour, did you?
Well, towards the end, when I first started working there, we worked as a day rate, hourly rate.
Oh.
And then they put in piecework.
They did.
So every job was priced.
Was that because you changed job, or they just changed it the way that they paid?
They changed the whole system.
They changed the system.
To increase production.
Oh,
that was my opinion anyway,
mm-hmm.
that by putting it on piecework, they could get more production.
Because obviously the more pieces you could turn out, the more you would make at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you could make more money that way if you worked harder, too.
But you didn't dare to turn in too much, or they would cut the rate of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So did you discuss that?
They'd send a timer in.
Efficiency expert.
Right.
Nobody likes them, do they?
Somebody in and retime your job if they thought that you were goofing off too much. If you had too much time to spend in the restroom, or too much time to visit, or too much time away from the job, they knew it. And they'd have somebody come in and retime your job, and so they figured if you had that much time, why you could. That much more work,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who you worked for, who your supervisor was? Or any of the people that...
I couldn't tell
That's
you.
All right, I was just
if I heard their names, why, but to I had some real good bosses, and then I had some
who
were not. Yes. But most, as I say, most of them treated me.
Did you have to wear a special protective clothing? Did you wear a badge?
Oh yeah, we all had badges. And we all all the women had to wear hair nets. And because I, at one point I was on the safety committee, and that was part of my job. I didn't get paid extra or anything for it, but in every group they'd have someone appointed to be, to watch out for the safety of other people, and I would have to see that they kept their, had their hair nets on.
For the electricity, the static electricity?
Right. And you could not wear gloves.
Oh, really?
Because, especially, you could wear gloves if you were doing inspection work, but on the machines you could not wear gloves, because I know from my own personal experience, I was working on a job and I had gloves on, and the glove got caught in the drill press, and I've got a scar right
there. Oh, dear. Oh, you had your hand cut.
Yeah, and that's why you could not wear
it. It was dangerous.
Very dangerous, because in just a split second, why a drill going at that high rate of speed could catch a thread or anything on those gloves, and it'd be gone.
But jewelry, you had to take off your jewelry.
Oh, quick, right.
Right. And did you have to wear special things on your feet? For the sports?
No.
Nothing
mm-hmm.
in the feet. Okay. Because I've seen pictures of that.
Everybody wore. You couldn't wear a lot of loose clothing.
Yeah. Overalls or coveralls, that kind of thing.
Yeah, slacks.
Mm-hmm. That's when women started wearing slacks more.
Right.
Wasn't
that,
it? Before that, it was house dresses.
That's really done away with the house dresses.
It's the beginning. Did you have to wear steel-toed shoes or anything like that?
Not when I worked there, but I guess later. Of course, the work in our department was not really that. They were mostly small pieces.
Mm. So you didn't have to worry something big and heavy falling on your foot.
That's right. But I guess later on they had to wear safety shoes. And when I worked there, they didn't have to wear safety glasses, but I guess they, later
they wore them.
They didn't have to.
Or any kind of ear protection, earplugs or anything for noise?
Not that I've never had to. Not that I know of.
What about the union? Did you have to join the union?
Oh, yes. Definitely. After three months, why you had to join the union. Which was good.
They looked
out
for you.
My estimation that the people today, in spite of what is the union is criticized for, would not have what they have today if it were not for the union.
Mm-hmm. Were there any grievances or troubles or anything that you participated in with respect to the union, or was it just simply a matter of paying your dues?
One time they went on strike, but this was not during the war, this was
after the war.
Right.
Was that the Wildcat strike? And there was one in 46 or 47. Is that the one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
After that.
It was even after that, okay.
Well, it was probably about 47.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was when I was working the lawnmower department, after the war.
Okay.
But during the war, we didn't have any.
Any grievances or reasons to contact the union about anything that happened to you in the shop or anything like that? Nothing like that.
No, any problems I had, all I had to do was go to the foreman, and I could work it out.
With the foreman, not even the
right.
The steward or the committeeman or anything like that?
Oh, well, there were times when you would talk to them, but I never had any, as I said, any real serious problems. If I had anything to say before, the boss knew it.
What about the working conditions? Did you have an adequate place to have your lunch, bathroom facilities?
They had a big restroom.
For women?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Did they make that new for the women coming in for the war?
I think so, because I remember them remodeling.
Okay.
So they had a place for women, a restroom, and they had a place for women to eat.
Was it away from your work area?
Oh, yes, it was. Well, it was, yes, it was on the second floor.
Oh.
We worked on the first floor. Well, the second floor during the war was used for, that's where they assembled the bomb fuses. I'm not familiar with that. I never worked up there.
Were there women up there?
Oh, yes.
There were women there?
Women.
It was all women?
That's when my sister worked up there.
Oh, your sister worked up there?
Mm-hmm.
The Navy Department, in relationship to where it was in the building, would that have been, say, the Washington Baker area?
It was in the 600 and 700 block. It was from Baker Street. That whole building, well, it was down to the, where the old office building used to be. The
okay.
First building there on Baker and Washington was the Navy Department.
Mm-hmm.
Those two buildings, it was 600 and 700 building. Those were the Navy. And then later it was the Lawnmower Department.
Oh, the Lawnmower Department later went into what had been the Navy Department.
Right.
Oh, okay.
We were on, after the war, we were off for about a year.
Oh.
And, then they started up the Lawnmower Department, and then most of us, well, I guess anybody that worked in the Navy Department, according to their seniority, was called back to work, and I was one of them, and worked at the Lawnmower Department until they sold it to the motor wheel.
Can I just ask one thing?
Oh,
absolutely. Motor wheel.
Yes.
I'm curious about the ages of the women who worked during the war, because the only people that we've talked to were very young, in their teens.
Most of them. We had a few. It was a very few of older women that had worked at the reel before the war, and then for a period of time they did not work, and then of course when the Navy Department started up, where they called them
back. They didn't work during the Depression?
They did.
They did. They were out during the Depression? Is that what you're saying?
Well, only
they were
like most men or women that worked during the Depression, if they got 1 or 2 days a week, why they were lucky.
I see. And then they got called back when the production started.
Yeah.
In different types of things, probably. Because a lot of the women in Rio before the war were in upholstery and wiring.
Yeah. But they were, some of them were working on machines, and some of them were working on assembly work. There wasn't too many, though.
Most of them were...
Well, let's see, what was I? Well, I was in my 40s when I went to work.
Oh, I would have guessed a lot younger than that. Okay.
No, about 84 now.
You surprised me.
We didn't expect that. Oh my goodness.
I thought she was going to say much younger.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say 64.
I was thinking someplace along in the late 60s. Also.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
During the war, do you remember bond drives, war bond drives? Did they come through the factory and
They had bond drives, but I don't remember too much about them.
I was just wondering if they just automatically expected you and deducted a bond from
your... Oh, yeah, we all bought, well, to my knowledge, at least I did, and I think most everybody did, had bond deductions
from their parents. Like one a month or some such thing?
Yeah, so much every payday was taken out for bonds. That was just automatic, and then when you get a bond paid for, well, they'd send it to you.
Yeah. What
Which
about...
Which is a good thing.
Yes,
for a lot of people, yeah. I know for me, that was a good way to save money, which I was very grateful for when the war was over, and even after I left the real war, I was glad that I, because the bonds that I had was what helped build this house. Well, helped with another project. Of course, the best thing that ever happened to me at the Rio was because I met my husband there.
Oh, he worked there too.
Yeah.
What did he do there?
Well, he was on inspection, and during the war he was on his tool crib inspection. And then when they started the old lawnmower department, why, he decided that he could make more money working on the machine, so he went to machine work. He could do anything he wanted, he could do anything.
Hmm.
And then after they closed the lawnmower department, he went to, he worked in the truck division on inspection until he retired. But we were both working in the Navy Department when we first met, but it wasn't. It was just a casual passing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we really didn't get to know each other until we started working in the Longhorn Department.
After the war.
After the war.
Yeah. I'm curious, you mentioned being off after the war about a year. There was no compensation. You didn't get any kind of layoff benefits.
You got unemployment.
That's unemployment.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the word.
Mm-hmm. Did you get unemployment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that time.
And you wanted to go back to Rio if they had a spot for you?
Oh, sure. That's where the money was.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to go back to what you were doing before?
Didn't make any difference.
Didn't matter to you?
When I went back, why, of course, they put me on machine in the lawnmower department. Why, I was put back on machines to work, and then I got when they sold it, right, I was working on the line, but I preferred machines.
On the assembly line?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mind about assembly, but
assembly line for trucks?
Lawnmower.
For lawnmower? Did your pay change when you came back after the war?
Oh, yeah. Of course, it was all piece work or group work.
Uh-huh.
Group work? Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it during the war was group work. You worked in a group, and it was whatever the group, every job was priced, and it was your day's work was turned in as a group, because I used for our group on the when I worked on the Brown and Sharp machines, where I had to make out the timesheets for the whole group. So whatever that group would, the production that they would do was all turned in, and we all got paid the same.
Oh, based on your group work.
Now, like some jobs would pay more. It was easier to make your money on some jobs than it was others. So those were the jobs that we would push to make up for the low paying.
Mm-hmm.
So it all balanced out.
The ones that paid more did that mean that the more production had to be put out during that particular, on that particular job? Or they were harder to do? Or more complicated? No?
Just the way they were rated.
Just the way that someone had rated them, mm-hmm. in terms of their importance or...
But there were times when people wouldn't cooperate so that everybody could do, you know, where people in a group didn't work together so that you could all make a basic rate?
Well, they did it. Well, for the most part, they all, there was always some that were a little bit slow, but
mm-hmm.
they,
You got them to toe the line?
Most cases, they, if they were held back for group too much, why they were getting money, you know.
Oh, okay.
So, and I imagine that a good share of those, I know an awful lot of them that I worked with, no longer around.
Mm-hmm. You weren't living here when you worked during the war.
No.
Were you living in the area or somewhere near the Rio?
No. My sister and I had an apartment over on the north.
Oh, so then you took a bus back downtown and transferred?
Right.
Oh, I know. I want to ask you what kind of shifts you worked, too. Did you work the same shift all the time, 9 to 5 or whatever?
No. I worked, when I first started working there, I worked from 4 to 12.
4 in the afternoon till midnight.
Oh, mm-hmm. My.
That was called afternoons?
Right. And then they started... they had the three shifts going, then they started alternating. And I didn't like that. I would much rather have the 4 to 12 shift than...
All the time.
...than working... Because you just... Working the three shifts, you would work... What was it? 30 days, I think, on each shift. But you just get used to one shift, and then you'd go back to the other, and it was... awful.
It's a hard way to organize your life that way.
Was it hard to learn to... You'd just get your sleep pattern if you worked 4 in the midnight. You'd come home and then sleep until sometime in the morning. And then you'd have to shift your body rhythm all around when you worked...
It was... The worst shift was 12 to 8.
Why was it the worst? Hard to stay awake?
Because you couldn't get any sleep during the day.
Mm. Everybody else in your neighborhood was up and around, and people
right.
were making noise.
But at that time, there was four of, well, myself and three sisters who were living together in a house. And, of course, they all worked days. And then when trying to get sleep during the day, you couldn't. And in the evening, they were home, couldn't. It was, that midnight shift was murder.
Mm.
As far as I was concerned.
How long did you work at Rio in lawnmower department?
Well, I worked at the Rio from 1942 until 1953, when they sold the lawnmower.
Oh, okay. After they sold the lawnmower to Motor Wheel, that was when you stopped working there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you stop working there just because you didn't want to, you wanted to continue doing that kind of work and they were no longer doing it anymore, or?
Well, we, at that time we were, in 1953, I worked at Vanderport's for a while,
mm-hmm.
and but my husband didn't really want me to work because we started building this house, and my time was more valuable working on this house than it was working. And of course, there wasn't anything over there to do anyway, and I think it wasn't until about 1959 or 60. They called me back over there to work, but...
At the Rio?
Mm-hmm. But I didn't go back.
What would they have wanted you to do, did they?
I have any idea.
Oh.
But,
they obviously thought you were a good enough worker to call back after all those years.
Well, at that time, my husband and I, we had started a ceramic business. And so I could have made a lot more money if I'd went back to work for real, but it was something that we enjoyed. And
I remember Vandervoort's. It was a nice big store downtown, sporting goods.
Yeah. Well, I worked there for a while on the one on North Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started building this house, that took up all of our time, extra time, and schluss, because we did most of this ourselves. Well, we had the house framed in, basement, all that. But then after that, we did all the rest of the work until it got to the plastering, and we had to hire that done. But the plumbing and the electrical work my husband did.
Wow.
This is. Got all hardwood floors, and I know what it is put in hardwood floors because I did most of it.
You've always worked hard, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
After the war, you were off. There were strikes, and there was changeover of the type of things they were making. And you left in '53, and they had a military contract then, didn't they?
Yeah.
Army trucks and such.
Mm-hmm.
So work was up, but
there wasn't a lot of work for that many women. Even though I was pretty high on the seniority list,
a lot of the men had come back from the war
and
had come back to work.
Of course, the men had priority. Anyone that was in service, when they had priority, and most of those jobs were for men anyway. I can't say what went on after that because I never went back to work, so I don't. I know a lot of women were put on different wiring jobs and things like that. I have no idea what they did.
Right.
But I guess that year, a lot of things changed. The year that they laid people off after the war.
Yeah.
They had to reorganize everything again.
And the country was going through some big strike periods too, coal strike, steel strike.
Yeah, we were off just about a year.
Just about a year.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't, of course, at that time, my one sister and I had an apartment together, and so we enjoyed our leisure time.
I'm kind of jumping way ahead, but the question has occurred to me, since you were living here, at the very end when the real buildings burned, could you see the fire from here?
Oh, yes. I went down there at the time that they burned. I hope this is not all on tape.
Would you rather
just shut it off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this don't.